Imagine a 4-year-old sitting alone in a room with a marshmallow. The researcher has made a simple offer. Eat this one marshmallow now, or wait until I return and get 2 marshmallows instead. This deceptively simple scenario became one of psychology's most famous experiments. Walter Mischel's marshmallow test, conducted at Stanford University in the 1960s, revealed something remarkable. Children who could delay gratification for 15-20 minutes at age 4 scored an average of 210 points higher on SATs and showed better health outcomes decades later. The study's longitudinal findings shocked the scientific community and have influenced fields from education to economics. What makes this research so compelling isn't just the correlation between childhood willpower and adult success, but the deeper revelation. Self-control isn't fixed at birth. It can be developed through specific cognitive strategies that anyone can learn. This revolutionary idea transforms how we understand human potential. The marshmallow isn't just about willpower, it's about developing mental tools that help us make better choices throughout life. Our brains house 2 competing systems that evolved over millions of years. The hot emotional system, in the limbic system, responds automatically to immediate temptations without considering consequences. The voice urging, "Eat that cookie now!" The cool cognitive system, in the prefrontal cortex, enables rational planning and self-control. These systems operate reciprocally. When one activates, the other diminishes. Under stress, the hot system intensifies, while the cool system weakens, impairing rational thinking when we most need it. This explains why intelligent people make poor choices when tempted. Brain scans of marshmallow test participants in their 40s showed physical differences. High delayers had more prefrontal cortex activity, while low delayers showed greater activity in the ventral striatum, the region linked to desire and pleasure. The prefrontal cortex develops slowly, not fully maturing until our early 20s, explaining why children and adolescents struggle with impulse control. Chronic stress particularly damages this region. Even mild, uncontrollable stress can rapidly diminish cognitive abilities. This creates an unfortunate paradox. The brain region responsible for creative problem solving becomes less accessible precisely when we need it most. What separated successful waiters from those who gave in wasn't willpower, but strategy. Children who waited successfully employed clever distractions, singing, making faces, playing hand games, or trying to sleep. When researchers suggested thinking fun thoughts, children waited over 10 minutes on average, compared to less than a minute without such prompting. The power of mental representation proved remarkable. Children waited twice as long when focusing on cool features of rewards, marshmallows as round white clouds, versus their hot qualities, sweet, chewy taste. They also waited longer when shown pictures rather than actual treats. As one 4-year-old noted, "You can't eat a picture." This reveals a key insight. Changing how you think about something alters its impact on your feelings and actions. By age 12, most children understand this principle, recognizing that transforming marshmallows into puffy clouds makes waiting easier. This cognitive reframing applies to all areas requiring self-control. Advanced planning also enhances resistance to temptation. Like Odysseus tying himself to the mast to hear the sirens safely, we can create strategies against predictable temptations. Researchers developed if-then implementation plans. When X happens, then I'll do Y. Children with these plans were significantly less distracted, as these intentions work by making desired actions automatic when relevant cues occur, bypassing effortful control. Babies arrive with distinct temperaments, physiological differences in emotional reactivity, attention control, and self-regulation abilities. Some are highly active and positive, others easily distressed. These innate dispositions create feedback loops with caregivers that can escalate toward greater joy or distress. However, these predispositions aren't destiny. Modern genetic research reveals complex interactions between genes and environment. Our genetic makeup functions like a vast library in each cell, with recent discoveries showing that previously dismissed junk DNA contains crucial regulatory switches determining gene expression in response to environmental factors. Animal studies illustrate these interactions. Genetically brave mice placed with shy mothers became more fearful, demonstrating maternal environment's powerful impact on genetic expression. Similarly, rats bred to be maize bright or maize dull showed remarkable plasticity. Enriched environments, maize dull rats significantly brighter, while impoverished environments diminished bright rats' abilities. The evidence compels us to move beyond the nature versus nurture debate. Human dispositions reflect complex interactions between genes and environment in an intricate choreography. Environmental factors can be as deterministic as genes, while the genome shows remarkable malleability. Most predispositions are pre-wired to some degree, but remain flexible with potential for change. Self-control works alongside other resources that protect against stress and build success. George Ramirez's journey from Ecuador to Yale shows how he thrived in a structured KIPP school environment that taught crucial lessons about consequences and accountability. Two psychological resources prove particularly powerful: a sense of personal control reflected in an "I think I can" mindset and optimistic expectations. Carol Dweck's research shows how our theories about ability, growth mindset versus fixed mindset, profoundly affect achievement. Children with growth mindsets see abilities as muscles to develop, while those with fixed mindsets view abilities as unchangeable traits. Optimism, expecting positive outcomes, yields benefits including better stress management and health. Unlike pessimists who attribute failures to permanent personal flaws, optimists view setbacks as temporary and specific, allowing them to learn and improve. They approach challenges confidently, willing to delay gratification because they expect eventual success. Humans struggle to vividly imagine their distant future. When thinking about our future selves, many show brain activity patterns resembling those when thinking about strangers. This disconnect explains why we take risks and ignore long-term consequences. Research shows people who feel greater continuity with their future selves make more patient financial decisions. In one experiment, college students shown aged avatars of themselves allocated 30% more to retirement savings compared to those shown current self avatars. The emotional connection made them more willing to share current resources with their future selves. The marshmallow test isn't about genetic destiny. It's about how self-control can be developed at any age. Neuroscience confirms our brain's plasticity, especially in prefrontal areas governing executive function. Laboratory studies show that direct training improves both self-control and neural pathways. Parents can nurture self-control by minimizing childhood stress, explaining choices and consequences, and supporting children through challenges without taking over. Instead of praising intelligence, praise effort to foster a growth mindset where abilities are viewed as developable skills. Adults should first identify their specific hotspots triggering impulsive reactions. Keep a journal tracking moments of lost control and their psychological triggers. Once identified, create and practice implementation plans to better manage these situations. The research on self-control extends beyond "I think, therefore I am" to the more empowering "I think, therefore I can change what I am." By altering our thinking, we transform what we feel, do, and become. The marshmallow represents our daily choices that shape who we are and who we might become.